Now, today I'd like you to turn over to John 14. John 14, if you would. And we just welcome those that might be with us online. We thank you for tuning in, and we believe you're going to be changed by listening to these messages. John 14, you know, one of the things that we listened to or we reflected on these messages was that in Isaiah 53, we talked about being redeemed and that our emotions have been redeemed, and that not only our emotions have been redeemed, but our physical bodies were redeemed by his sacrifice and his shed blood. And that we looked at Hebrews 4:15, we looked at that also, and Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, but without sin. But I wanted to land on this today a little bit, and John 14, and looking at verse 1, it says what? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What does he say? Let not your heart be troubled. So here, this is something we're going to have to do. We're going to have to not let our hearts be troubled. And jump down to verse 27. It says, peace I leave you. Now, who's speaking here? This is, in my Bible, this is red letter. So this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, I only do those things I hear the Father say or see him do. So this is the Father speaking through Jesus that he said here, peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And here he says it again. It's in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled, neither what? Neither let it be afraid. So sometimes we look at this and we're looking for God to do everything. You know, people are praying, saying, God, fix this, do this. Fix everything. Well, you're not going to fix everything. There's some things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to control your mind. He said, you let not your heart be troubled. Now, he'll give us the ability to do that. How's he going to do that? He said, look at what he said. Before he said, let not your heart be troubled, he said, I give you peace. That's how you're not going to let your heart be troubled. He said, I gave you peace. But now, you're going to have to do what? Act as if he did. You're going to have to receive that and walk in that. It's no different. Just think about this. I know we're going back over this again. But when Jesus spoke, he released power, didn't he? He released the ability for something to take place. He released the potential for something. And so when he said to Peter, or when Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Now they're in the middle of a storm. Now Jesus said, what did he say to Peter? Come. Now Peter could have said, you got to be kidding me, Lord. Don't you see the waves? Don't you see the problem I'm in here? You want me to step out of this boat? Are you kidding me? Don't you see? It's almost like when the disciples said, carest thou not that we perish? Can't you see the conditions? And now let me ask you a question. If Peter had not acted, when Jesus said, come, he released the power and the ability to walk on the water. If Peter hadn't gotten out of the boat, nothing would have happened. He had to do what? Act upon that. So it's no different when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." The ability is there. The peace is there. We have to do what? Take it. We have to receive it and act on it. What does that mean? That means that I have to, what did he say prior to, after that? He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but give I unto you," what? "Now let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is where sometimes we're going to have to make some adjustments. We're going to have to control our thinking. We're going to have to say, "I've received." It'd be no different when you ask Jesus into your heart. You may not have felt anything, but you have received eternal life, whether you felt it or not. And you had to walk in that, didn't you? It's no different than the peace of God. No different. And all of these externals, you know, the Bible says those things that are without, that means the outward, right? They're going to come. Pressures are going to come. And the things that we're going to have to do is control our thinking. This is the battleground here. So fear, you know, and the difference between faith and fear is that faith is a reaction from our heart based on what? Something God has said or promised. Fear, we're reacting to things we see, not the unseen. But when you look at this verse 27, some of the other translations, I'll just read some of them again. The Amplified, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." The Good News Translation, "Don't be worried," or "Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid." So we're not to let our hearts be troubled and our minds be troubled. John 16, let's turn over there for a moment. John 16, verse 33. "These things have I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have," what? Tribulation. That means pressures and problems. But be of what? Be discouraged? No. Be down? Be forlorn? Be upset? It says what? "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Who's greater? He's greater. He's in me. The greater one's in me. Amen. That's what 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever, it says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." This is the victory to overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. So we're going to have to receive peace by faith, just like we received him by faith. And we're going to have to control, let not. Think about this. God won't control your mind. He's not going to. He said, "You let it not be troubled." So God won't control your mind, and the devil can't. Just think about that. God won't control your thoughts, and the devil can't control your thoughts. Think about this. Just always remember this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. "We are made in the image and likeness of God." So he made us like him. He's a spirit, we're a spirit. We live in a body, we have a soul or a mind. And so he has given us the God-like right to control our own thoughts, make choices, decide things. He made us like him. And so he is not going to control your thoughts because he said, I made you like me. You choose. You decide what you think on. But let it not be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have the power and the ability to do that. And the devil can't force you to think on thoughts. You choose to. He's a what? A deceiver. He deceives. He'll come and say, this is not working. You'll never have this. You'll never. And you'll go, oh, yeah, that's right. I'll never get it. And you forget who you are in Christ. So he can't make you or force you to be fearful. He can't force you to be afraid. He can't force you to think on something. He deceives you, and you do what? You agree. You agree to it. So always remember, we are overcomers. We are in Christ. We are made like him. See, if he overcame, then I'm in him, then I'm an overcomer. Right? Now let's turn over Philippians 4. Let's go to Philippians 4, 6. And we're just walking through, doing a kind of a little review here. I want to add a little more today. Just look at this again. Philippians 4, 6. This word careful, it says, be careful for what? No thing or nothing. Some translations say, don't worry about anything. Somebody said, that's not possible. Well, I guess you need to speak to God then, because he inspired Paul to write this, which they say was one of his last books written. So, towards the end of his life. Be careful. Don't take anxious thought. Be anxious for nothing. But what? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your what? Your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7, and the what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your what? Your hearts and minds. Your mind, your mind, your mind, your heart and mind, your heart and mind. Through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. So if it doesn't fall into those other categories, what are we supposed to do? Don't think on them. And then verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do what? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So how do we get the peace of God? In verse 7, you got to do what's in verse 6 to get verse 7. You know, if you're full of anxiety and you're fretting about things, then the peace of God is not going to affect your heart and mind. And then, so just think about the progression. How do you keep what you received in verse 7? How do you keep what you just received? So you did verse 6. You're not anxious for anything. You offered up prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So now you have the peace. How do you keep it? How do you keep the peace of God? You do verse 8. You do verse 8. Whatsoever things are what? True and lovely and honest and so forth and of a good report, think on these things. So you got to do verse 6 to get verse 7, but in order to keep verse 7, you got to do verse 8. You got to think on these things. Say, think on these things. You've got to think on these things. That involves your what? Your mind. Some of these other translations, I like the Wiest. It says, stop worrying about even one thing. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying about anything. Do not worry about anything. The New American Bible, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. The Passion Translation, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. So that's what we're supposed to think on. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 and 6. This is where, I'm just going to say this, this is where a lot of Christians are defeated and why they're defeated. They don't control their minds. They don't bring into captivity thoughts. They let their thoughts run, and then they get in anger. They get in compulsion. They get in whatever, rage, you know, fear, anxiety. They get into these things because they meditate on things that they shouldn't be. And here, this, it's just an area we need to do what? Develop more in. We're going to control our thinking. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 and 6 in the King James, it says, for they that are what? After the what? The flesh, or you could say natural things, that do what? Mind the things of the flesh, but they that are what? After the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be what? Carnally minded, say minded, is death, but to be spiritually what? Minded is what? Life and peace. Just think about this. I keep focusing on this because as we grow, and I started developing this years ago. I'll just say it that way. I was more aware. It didn't mean I didn't walk through things in life. We make mistakes. Didn't mean we don't walk through things and maybe make a mistake here or there. But we become, as we grow, we become more aware of our spirit. We become more aware, sensitive to who's inside me. We just become more aware. You know, we say, just something doesn't feel right. That's because you're more aware of spiritual things. Now, you can ignore that and override it with what? To be carnally minded. So that means you're more aware of things around you, the natural, the flesh things. You're more aware of that. You won't be aware spiritually of who's inside you. God's living inside you. And if you become more aware of Him, then the outside becomes less attractive, less aware. You say, no, God, no, I'm not going that direction. I'm not going to worry on that. No, God's for me. It may not be comfortable. It may not look like there's a way out, but with Him, I can do all things through Him and with Him. With Him, all things are possible. So it may not look like victory, may not smell like it, and it may like look like you will never get there. But if you're aware of Him, always remember this, God is always going to lead you to victory. He's always going to lead you and show you a way to get through that. Always. always. So we can, as born again saints of God, we can be more aware of the things of the flesh, or we can be more aware of the things of the Spirit. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. And so what does it say? It says here, we're called to walk in the Spirit. That's what he said. He said to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded, or you could say aware of spiritual things, is life and peace. If I'm more aware of spiritual things, it's going to be life and peace for me and you. You see. Now, sometimes I'll just say this because we all have perceptions of things. When we hear somebody say, walk in the Spirit, immediately people think they're in a trance. We're in a trance all day long. That's not what God is talking about here. He's talking about you being more aware of his presence and his leading. What did Brother Hagin say? He said it for years and years and years and years. He said, you need to be more God inside minded. What does that mean? That you're more aware of him and who's in you than your natural surroundings. That you don't just give so much credence to that you're unaware of him. You're unaware of him. What did we just get done saying? If you're more aware of natural things, then you're not thinking on these things, which we said in Philippians 4:8. Think on those things which are lovely and just and of a good report. If you're thinking on those things, he said, think on those things, you become more aware of him than your other surroundings. Because it said, if I think on the natural things, what is it? It says, to be carnally minded is what? Death. You're not going to be aware. And we looked at one scripture in Luke when it says their hearts were overcharged with what? It said surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of life. And they weren't aware of the day approaching. So sometimes when we're not spiritually sensitive, we're clueless to him. That's where the world is. We're his children. And we need to what? Walk in the peace of God. Peace will lead us. It'll lead us to the best jobs. Peace will lead us to the best house. Peace will lead us to the right people to minister to. Peace will lead us to the right people to be friends with. Peace will lead us to the right people to marry and associate with. Peace will lead your children. And we need to have homes of peace so that presence of God is there, that the family operates in what? The peace of God, not in all of the turmoil that's going on. Amen. And that has to be developed. You've got to do what? What did he say? You let not your heart be troubled. You do it. Now you say, well, I need some help. That's what the Holy Ghost is here for. That's what the Word of God is here for, to empower us to do that. Peter couldn't walk on the water by himself, but Jesus said, come. And he empowered him to walk on the water. Same thing. We can't handle these natural issues without his help, without his word. When he said, I've given you my peace, now let not your heart be troubled. I've got to go, okay, I got it. I'm walking in it. And meanwhile, your knees are shaking, your mind's going crazy, but I've got his peace and I'm walking in it. And what does it say? What does Philippians say? What is Philemon? It says that the communication of our faith We've got to communicate our faith. We've got to, what is 2 Corinthians 4:3? We believe and therefore we what? We speak. So if I believe I've received something, I've got to act as if I have. How do I act? I say, I got it. I call those things which what? Be not, as though they were. I'm not going to talk about what I have. Some people say, I don't have fear, I don't have fear, I don't have fear, I don't have fear, and you have fear. It's trying to grip you. It never said, call those things that are as though they're not. It said to call those things that be not as though they are. I have peace. And you go, but I don't feel peace. But you're calling those things that what? Be not. You're taking what's been released and given. Amen. Glory to God. So does it matter? Let's look at another scripture here real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. I hope you're getting a little something out of this. Because it's meant to stir our hearts up. Hebrews chapter 12. And look at verse 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. What does it say? Looking. Consider him. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he did what? He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For what? Consider him. What does that mean? We got to think about him. If I consider something, that means I'm setting my mind on that. This says, consider him who that endured such contradiction of sinners against him. If you don't consider him, what does this say? Lest you be what? Wearied and faint where? In your mind. So this connects right up with Philippians 4:8. If it says, think on these things. So if we don't think or consider him, this says here, you could be weary and faint in your mind. You've got to consider him. What does that mean? We've got to think about him. We've got to talk about him. We've got to consider him and his word. Because if we don't, then you're not bringing into control your thinking. You're not bringing into subjection your thoughts. We've got to weigh them. We've got to say, okay, where'd that thought come from? See, always, we've shared this before. Thoughts are just not nothing. Thoughts came from something. Your words that you speak express your what? Your thoughts. Your words that you speak express what you're thinking on, what you're thinking about. So your words that you speak are containers of your thoughts. God's word is his thoughts. And what does it say? We're to do what? Think on these things. We're to think on his thoughts. Because if we don't consider it, you can be weary and faint. Because his word, what did he say? My words are what? Spirit and what? Life. His words, when we think on them, they bring life into my spirit. They bring health. They bring encouragement into my spirit. They bring peace. Right? But when we don't, think about it. The devil's got thoughts too. And he expresses those through music that we listen to, through stuff we listen to, what we read. And if we're not careful, if we don't bring these thoughts and control them and we think on them, we're going to be weary. Because they're meant to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's why Jesus said, no. Let not your heart be troubled. I've given you peace, not as the world gives. See, always Think about this. Whatever we see, whatever we touch, what does it say? Look not on the things seen, for the things seen are what? Temporal. So if the world gave you peace, it's what? Temporary. Yeah, you can get that car, that house, that whatever. It's temporary. But his peace is eternal. Hallelujah. And that's what we're talking about. Think on him. Consider him. The apostle and high priest. So now you don't have to turn there. You can go over to James 1 and verse 5 through 8. But just, I'll read this scripture because you already know this. Jeremiah, if you don't, then you can look it up at another time. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. This is the Lord saying. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end." So when thoughts come to you that are not of peace and are not of good, it didn't come from him. If thoughts come to you of failure and destruction and disease and sickness, it didn't come from him. He said, "I have thoughts of you and plans, they're of peace. And they're of good and not of evil." That's how you can locate some of these thoughts, where they came from. Now, James chapter 1 and verse 5, 6 and 7, it says, "If any man, any of you lack wisdom," what are we supposed to do? "Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men," what? "Liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith," what? "Nothing wavering," nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable. Unstable. Wearied. Faint. Unstable in all his ways." This is what got Peter into trouble. When he got out of the boat, he was of one mind, and then he started to what? Consider the waves and consider the storm, and it caused him to be double-minded. And he called out for help. Amen. So this says here, why are some not stable? I guess that's the question. Why are some Christians not stable? They're double-minded. That's just being, you gotta look at that and ask that question. Now let's turn over, just try to finish up here. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, we'll go over further in that chapter. But 2 Corinthians 11. See, when people say, "Well, you just don't understand," then what that tells me is that you're considering your circumstances greater than the one that's in you. See, didn't say your circumstances weren't real. Didn't say that you shouldn't even consider them, but you need to consider him greater than your circumstance. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. What does it say? "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent did what? Beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, think about this just for a moment here, because I think it's important to reflect on this. Adam and Eve were perfect. There was no sin. They had no imperfection. They were made perfect. And yet, see, when you think, well, I can overcome the devil, don't be foolish. Because they were perfect and they were beguiled. They were deceived. And what happened? Why were they deceived? It said here, your mind should be corrupted from what? The simplicity of the gospel. When people try to start explaining away what is, they're trying to get you over into reason and reason away what God said, and you can be deceived. This is what happened. What did God say? Of the tree of the garden you can eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's simple, isn't it? You can eat this, but you can't eat that. That's pretty simple. But then what happened? The devil comes in and tries to do what? Reason that. Did he really say that? Did he really mean that? And they were deceived. And so we can find ourselves thinking about, remember, go back and say, to be what? Carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. We need to be more aware of him and not our natural circumstances and surroundings. Now let's go over, you're in chapter 11. Go over to verse 26 in that chapter. And look what Paul is writing here. He explains some of the issues he dealt with. You ain't dealt with these kind of issues. He said in verse 26, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, in other words, those are the things that are on the outside, things we see, he said here, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So if you didn't have all these natural things to give you reason to quit, now all this care and all of the pressures of all of these churches coming upon you, but it never said he took them. It said they came upon him because we read in Philippians. What? He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Who wrote that? Paul did. So obviously he didn't take the care, it came upon him. Right? Same thing. We need, cares may come upon us, frustrations and worries may come upon us, but we're not to do what? Let them in and take them. We're to do what? Philippians 4, 6. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, back up a chapter, and look at verse 4. Second Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, for what? The weapons of our what? Our warfare are not what? Carnal. Yeah, to be carnally minded is death. So weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, doing what? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and what? Bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. So these words here, casting down, when it says casting down, it means to demolish or to pull down or to take down. So that means What's the implication? Who's supposed to do that? We are. We're to bring our thoughts into control. We're to examine thoughts. And if they don't line up with God's word, what are we supposed to do? Pull them down. Demolish them. Cast them down and say, no, I'm not thinking on that. Because why? He said such and such to me. His word says this. It is written. Just think about this. The devil already knows. Don't try to match the devil in the natural realm. You're going to lose every time. Because it said that Eve was beguiled from the simplicity of the gospel. The devil, that's why when it says to be carnally minded, to be flesh minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Don't try to confront the devil in this natural realm, what I say. Bring him over into what realm? Faith realm. He'll lose every time. Step over into the faith realm. What does that mean? I consider him. I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to weigh these things, these spiritual things, and do what? Water my heart, water my thinking with the word of God so that I'm not deceived, that I'm not wearied in my mind. See? So when he, always remember this, the devil already knows he cannot weaken the word. The word's forever settled. He can't overcome the word. He can't cause the word and stop it from producing fruit. That's why he's not just after you. He's after what? He's after the word in your heart. He's after your faith stand. That's what he's after. Because he knows that if you take the word and you act upon it, he can't win. He cannot. He can't make you think a certain way. If you will think on these things, if you'll meditate on the word, he will lose every single time. And you will walk out of these issues because they're temporary. He'll make you think that, he'll try to deceive you into thinking they'll never change. But things in this natural realm are temporary. But things that are spiritual are eternal. You bring him over into the faith realm and you walk with God and his word, he will lose and you will win. Every time. Every time. So the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are faith. Our weapon, what does it say? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Our faith. This is one translation here. It says, our weapons have the power of God to destroy the defenses of evil. This is the Living Bible. I use God's mighty weapons, not those made by men, to knock down the devil's strongholds. I'm using his weapons. What is one of those weapons? Casting down imagination. That's one of the weapons right there. You casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The NIV, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Voice translation, the weapons of the war we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at tearing down the strongholds erected against his truth. See, this is what he's after. This battle that we have in the mind, he wants you to get wearied and to do what? Unhook. Just say, you know what? Forget this. It's not working. He got you. He got you. When you think it can't change, when you think things are not working, And yet God says, if you just let me in and allow my spirit to work in you and my word to work in you, you'll come through this. You'll come out of this. You'll walk in victory. What does it say? This is the victory. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's what the devil's after. He wants to weary you to the place where you give up. And so often, we see this when people get to a certain point, either in life, can be sickness. They just get to the point where they go, you know what? I'm just too tired. Forget it. I just give up. And yet, they could have been walking in victory. They could have just kept, hold on. Just hold on. Let the word keep working. But they get tired and weary. And they just give up. Now, that can not only mean sickness, but it can mean just life. It could be somebody's in a marriage and just, it's just, I'm weary. Forget this. This is too much trouble. I'm done. And you throw in the towel and the devil got it.
That's right.
He just said, got another one. Or you're just tired. You ain't fighting for your kids. So you just said, they'll never change. And you stop fighting and praying and battling for your family and children, and you just say, you know what? Forget it. It's lost. No, nothing is ever lost. Stay in the faith realm. Stay over there in faith, and it'll be life and peace for you. Didn't say it's comfortable on the flesh, but I'm telling you, if we walk in faith, we'll have victory every time. Every single time. Just don't give up. Just don't stop. Because that's what he wants. See? And let's look at this one last scripture here. Galatians 5, chapter 1. Galatians 5, 1. Because this is what we need to do. Whenever you get to the place of wanting to give up, you do this. You know, some of us, we know how to stand fast for things we want. You know, it's like, this is what I'm doing, and deal with it. You know, sometimes, you know how you want something, and you say, that's it, I'm getting this. Yeah, we know how to stand fast for certain natural things we want, but for spiritual things and things that matter, things that are eternal, this is what this says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the what? Yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage can come in all kinds of forms, all kinds of ilks. It says, don't be entangled in it again. Walk, stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been made free in Christ. He said, but I don't feel like I've been made free. You've been made free. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his Son. You've been made free. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've been set free. And the way that you can tell whether somebody knows they've been set free or not is what they're thinking about. Because if they talk about all the issues they're going through, then they are more carnally minded. They're more, and don't take that the wrong way. What it means is you're more aware of things around you than what's going on inside you, who you've become. That's why when we started out these messages, we talked about what's your identification? What are you identifying with? Are you identifying with your problems? Or are you identifying with who he's made you? Who you've become in Christ. See, a lot of people identify with their problems. Then they're not aware. They're more aware of their problems than they are of who Christ made them. He said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been set free. You've been set free. And believing, then, if I believe I've been set free, then I act like it. I act as if the Bible's true. I'm set free. I'm not going to think on these things. I'm not going to get wearied and downtrodden over things that come into life. You know, people say this all the time. Why do these bad things happen to good people? Because there's a devil in the earth. You're like, where'd all this stuff come from? I'm living for God. What the heck is going on? Bad things happen to good people because there's a devil. But thank God we have Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is the victory that overcometh all of this stuff. Right? What overcomes it? Your faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you get a little something out of this. It's just, we got to think on these things. Say, think on these things. Think on those things that are pure and just and lovely and of a good report. And if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. You know how you know it's the right thoughts? How do you feel when you think on them? That'll tell you. It doesn't take a great revelation, right, from God. Oh, God, is this the right thought? How's it make you feel? If you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling downtrodden, if you're feeling worried, it didn't come from Him. But if it gives you peace, if it gives you encouragement and victory, and it gives you things that uplift you, that came from Him. See, it's not hard. So the minute you start feeling a certain way, you go, oop, don't think on that. That's the wrong thoughts. I'm not going to take that thought. I'm not going to do it. And that takes effort. Didn't say we were all there yet. Some of us, we fall into habits, you know, and you got to say, whoa, 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 no, 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 no. Lord, help me. Remind me. That's why when you get the word in you and you keep the word in you, that when these thoughts come, it's like, this don't feel right. Yeah, it ain't right. So don't think on it. Got to change our thinking. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's full of power and life. And Father, we thank you that as we meditate on it, as we act upon it, we'll walk in the abundant life, abundance of peace, abundance of joy, abundance of peace and shalom. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. As you can see, I just am not impressed to unhook from this yet. It's still in me. And I believe that there's still room for us to keep feeding on this, keep meditating on this. I don't know what people are going through. I don't know what people are dealing with. Everybody's got different issues in life that come into their life. But God does. And that's why sometimes when we have these impressions, just stick with this for a while. Stick with this for a while. If it's not for you, then maybe sometime in your life it may be. Or if everything's going good, then take it and grow in it and share it with somebody else. Be a blessing to somebody else. Bring the peace of God to them. Bring encouragement to them that can help them. Amen.